Our first scripture today comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before your Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." Our New Testament comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, let us go to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, source of all justice and grace, we ask, O God, that you would purify our hearts, cleanse our minds, and open our ears to hear your voice. Grant us the grace to see the connection between the wilderness and the harvest, between the trials we face and the blessings you bestow. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so grace and peace to each and every one of you from Jesus the Christ, who faced temptation and triumphed, showing us the way to life. Amen. Well, beloved, we gather here today at the threshold of Lent, a season of introspection, repentance, and preparation. And we embark on a journey mirroring Christ's own journey, a journey into the wilderness, yes, a place of testing, where the very foundations of our faith can sometimes be challenged. And during Lent, I'm reminded that some of us choose to give up certain things, certain pleasures, certain foods, certain habits. And you know, I remember my first Lent, my very first Lenten practice. Just to preface that, I grew up Baptist, so it's not something I grew up with. It's something I had to grow into when I left the Baptist faith and moved into yet another tradition that did practice Lent. So my very first Lenten practice, we're going to give up something. That's what I thought. Let me see. What am I going to give up? Well, I opted to give up hamburgers. Okay? Boy, oh boy, I loved a good hamburger, and I could not wait for that 40 days to go by so that I could have a cheeseburger with bacon and jalapenos. I was going to do it up, okay? You see, the devil tempted me every day. All of those days, it seemed like that they were just going by slower and slower and slower. And I just wanted to stop and give it up and just go to Sonic and just happily indulge, okay? But giving up something that I loved, that was my elementary understanding of Lent. I didn't know what it really was about. And having that little bit of understanding, it really made me resentful of the whole journey, because to me, I was just denying myself pleasure, right? What is this for? Why? And so I made it to about day 30 and finally broke down and went to Sonic and had that bacon jalapeno. I made it a double, y'all, I'll admit. It was a bacon jalapeno cheeseburger, and oh boy, it was over. I was disappointed in myself. You know, because everybody at church was still on their Lenten journey. I wasn't. But thankfully, over the years, church, I have and I continue to develop a deeper understanding of what Lent is really all about. And it had little to do with cheeseburgers, as I understood the meaning of Lent at that time in my life. And so as we journey through this Lenten season, we're called to reflect not only on our personal temptations, those cheeseburgers, but to also on the temptations that challenge our understanding and our pursuit of justice. Our readings today from Luke 4 and Deuteronomy 26 seemed at first to be disparate or different, to have nothing to do with each other. One recounts the stark solitude of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and the other a joyous offering of the first fruits of the harvest. Suffering and joy, huh? Yet beneath the surface, they speak of the same fundamental truth. True abundance is not found in satisfying our immediate desires. No, but it's found in unwavering obedience to God's word and a heart overflowing with gratitude. Let us first consider the wilderness of Jesus as it was recounted for us in Luke. For 40 days, Jesus fasted. Oh my God, facing the raw vulnerability of human hunger. I just wanted to pass my cheeseburger to him when I read that. And then the tempter, the devil, Satan, whichever name you would like to give, arrived. Not with brute force, no, but with subtle, seductive whispers. Hey, can you hear it? If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. I know you're hungry. The temptation was not simply about physical hunger, church. It was about questioning Jesus' identity, questioning his reliance upon God. It was about taking shortcuts or bypassing the faith and the path of suffering for immediate gratification. But Jesus armed with the sword of Scripture, responded, "It is written, men shall not live by bread alone." Well, that's not what Satan wanted to hear. So he tried a couple more times. Jesus, in the wilderness, he faced temptations to prioritize self over God's will. But let's delve just a little bit deeper into the nature of those temptations. The second temptation, the allure of worldly power and glory, was equally insidious. Imagine the appeal this time. You, the Son of God, can end injustice now. You can feed the hungry, heal the sick, and establish a kingdom of peace. Why endure suffering when you can have the power right now and just fix it all? This temptation, disguised as a righteous goal, was a subtle whisper. A subtle but profound challenge to God's plan. It was a temptation to impose justice on our own terms, bypassing the path of sacrifice and redemption. Here it goes again. To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me. I've got all the power, and I can give it to whoever I want. Why don't you just take it? Why go through all this suffering? The tempter offered a crown without a cross, church, a kingdom without sacrifice. But Jesus didn't give in and again countered with the word of God. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Oh, the devil didn't like that either. And finally, I guess he thought, three times this will happen. Third time is a charm, right? He challenged Jesus' trust in God's protection, urging him to throw himself off the pinnacle of a temple, quoting Scripture to justify his boldness. Yet, Jesus, understanding the true meaning of God's word, replied, "You shall not put the Lord your God to a test." And in each instance, church, Jesus faced the temptation to prioritize self, to seize control, to doubt God's provision. He faced the same temptations that plague us daily. The desire for immediate satisfaction, the lust for power and prestige, the temptation to doubt God's faithfulness. And then similarly, if we look over into Deuteronomy 26, after years of wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites, they finally enter the promised land that they've been searching and searching for. And they're commanded to give their first fruits. You see, they're commanded, church, to remember their history of oppression in Egypt, which is a stark reminder of injustice. And their offering of the first fruits, it wasn't just an act of gratitude. It was deeper than that. It was an acknowledgement of God's intervention in bringing justice to their suffering, in bringing glory to them finally. It was an acknowledgement to remember that true justice flows from God's character, not from human power or from self-righteousness. And this offering, it was not just a mere ritual, something to go through. No, it was a profound act of remembrance. The Israelites were to recount their history. They were to recount their journey, their slavery in Egypt, God's miraculous deliverance, and the abundance of the land God had given to them. What a gift. This act of remembrance, it fostered humility. It fostered gratitude. It fostered a deep understanding of all the blessings that flowed from God's hand. And so the wilderness and the harvest, though seemingly opposite, are inextricably linked. You see, the wilderness, it tests our faith. It purifies our hearts, and it reveals our very dependence on God. The harvest, the fruit of God's grace, is a reminder of His faithfulness and an invitation to gratitude, which leads to a temptation towards justice, which is the subject of my message this morning. You see, in this Lenten season, we're called to enter our own wilderness, church. We're called to examine our hearts, to confront the temptations that hold us captive in day-to-day life, to relinquish our control and our desire for control, and to rely on God's provision. But one might ask, oh, preacher, how do we do this? Seems like the answer ought to be easy, and we should just know how to do these things. And we do, but sometimes we forget, and we fall down, and we just need to get back up again and ride the horse. A couple of ways that came to my mind: by fasting. Not just from food, but from the distractions that pull us away from God. To remember what those distractions are. Are they social media? Excessive entertainment? We have that when we turn on our computer, when we turn on the TV. I grew up with 3 channels. How many channels do we have today? Is it the pursuit of material possessions? Is it the love of money? Fasting from those things that pull us away. We can also be more prayerful, seeking God's guidance, confessing our sins, and opening our hearts to His love. Humbling ourselves before God, it helps us to recognize that we don't have all the answers. And as I used to think, I don't have it all together. I can say that today, proudly. I need help, so I pray about it, you know? I'm human. True justice ultimately belongs to God, and I have to pray about it daily. We can study Scripture more, allowing God's Word to illuminate our path, to challenge the assumptions that we hold on to, and to strengthen our faith. We can do more acts of service, reaching out, listening to those in need, seeking to understand their experiences that they're going out and experiencing in their lives. I'm a hospital chaplain. One thing I have learned along the path of doing this is that it helps me to get outside of my own self when I listen to what somebody else is going through. And sometimes it helps me in my own life path to redirect my thoughts, and to get my own self off my own pity party, if you want to say. So it's very helpful just to understand where others are, hear their pain, hear their hopes for a more just world. Sharing the blessings that we have and embodying the love of Christ. We can practice more empathy and more compassion, seeing the image of God in every person, regardless of their background, regardless of their circumstances. We can work for systemic change, challenging unjust laws, policies, and practices that perpetuate inequality. It takes a little more effort, but we can do it. And I also thought that we can practice more gratitude in our life. Remembering, as the Israelites had to, remembering God's faithfulness, acknowledging God's blessings, and then offering God our praise. And like the Israelites, we are called to bring our first fruits of our lives to God, not so much material blessings, but bring our hearts, bring our time, bring our talents, bring our very selves. Show up, be present in the world. That was the best advice my pastoral care professor ever shared when I was in seminary. You may not know what to do, but when you get the call, suit up and show up. God gives you the tools. And so Lent is a time to examine our hearts, to confess our complicity and injustice, and to commit ourselves to the pursuit of God's righteous kingdom. It is a time to remember that true justice is not about power or retribution, but about love and mercy and restoration of all things. And so Lent is not a season of gloom and doom either, but it's a season of grace. It is a time to rediscover the true abundance that comes from a life surrendered to our God. It's a time to remember that we are not defined by our desires, but by our relationship with the one, church, the very one who loves us unconditionally with all of our shortcomings and forgives us time and time again and agrees to walk with us along this journey of life. And so may we, like Jesus, emerge from the wilderness strengthened in faith and strengthened to have a temptation towards justice. And like the Israelites, offer our hearts to God in grateful praise. And just maybe, if I were to decide ever again to give up bacon cheeseburgers with jalapenos, may it be so that I can be doing that now to be a more healthier servant to our God and our world. Hallelujah and amen.